Hello, everybody. My name is Jason Wise, and you are listening to the SOM TV podcast. Really appreciate you tuning in. Today is very special for me. I have Kyle MacLachlan on the podcast today, and as a filmmaker, I'm obviously very familiar and a big fan of his work, especially with David Lynch. I don't know if you guys have watched Twin Peaks or Desperate Housewives or Blue Velvet or Sex and the City or any of the tons and tons of things, but guess what he adds to his resume now? SOM TV. Him and another actor by the name of Joel McHale will be on their own supersized episode of Drink a Bottle, where they actually drink six bottles of wine and a bottle of beer together. And it is, no exaggeration, absolutely hysterical. It is one of my favorite things we have produced on SOM TV. It is coming out Friday, December 11th, only on SOM TV. And the two of them are also launching a show on SOM TV in January called Weird Bottles, where we are going to give them insanely old, interesting, strange bottles with incredible stories. And the two of them are going to, you know, tell the stories and drink them. And if this episode of Drink a Bottle is any indication of how funny that series is going to be, I mean, I want to do 50 episodes. So Kyle and I are going to talk about a number of things. Amongst them is his wine, Pursued by Bear, and also his career in the entertainment industry and the episode that comes up on SOM TV. You can get SOM TV right now for $49.99 for an entire year. You can gift it. And guess what? There's no shipping. So if you buy SOM TV for somebody, they get it right then. Hint, hint. It's a great gift. And also, obviously, there's tons and tons of content. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours coming in 2021, including many, many feature films, new series, all sorts of new stuff. So for those of you who are subscribers and have been for this whole time we've been launched, we cannot thank you enough. For those of you who are thinking about becoming a SOM TV subscriber, what are you waiting for? There is tons of stuff. There's a whole world of wine waiting for you. SOMTV.com. Without further ado, my conversation with Kyle MacLachlan. Kyle, it is, it's an honor to have you on here. It must be a huge honor for you.
It's a huge honor for me to... It's a huge honor to be speaking with you. This is great. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I mean, I just want to put some context because, you know, me being from Ohio and being an enormous David Lynch fan and trying desperately to be a filmmaker and still trying to be a filmmaker, it's a pretty cool thing to have you on. I mean,
thanks.
I just have to get a few seconds of gushing out of the way.
Sweet. Thank you very much. Well, you are a filmmaker. If you're call yourself a filmmaker, you're a filmmaker. So there you are. Not instead of trying to be, what does Yoda say? There is no try. There is only do, or something like that, right?
Something like that. No, I have made films, and I've realized it's not as glamorous a profession as I thought it was going to be.
It's not. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of hard work that goes into the making of film and television, for that matter, and wine.
I'm drinking quite a bit because my films tend to be about alcohol, so it is what it is.
Good. You gotta do what you do best.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I want to do is put some context into your career. Now stretches a while. I mean, you're still a young man, but I mean, you've been acting for quite a long time. What is it that people recognize you most from? Just so I can put some context for our listeners. I mean, for me, it's Blue Velvet. Yeah. I mean, that's my.
Yeah, I think
anchor point with you
probably film wise, and I've done a lot of different types of things. I've been very lucky to have had the opportunity to try, you know, comedy and some serious stuff, and you know, I mean, just all over the map. And I think Blue Velvet is certainly I'm very proud of it as a film. I'm to be part of it and to work with that cast and work with David, and it's something that I'll cherish forever. And that would be certainly on the film side. And then I think television-wise, it's got to be Twin Peaks, I think. That seems to be the one that most people know me from. And then, you know, off of that, you have your fans of Sex and the City and your fans of Desperate Housewives and some of the other ones. But I think...
Yeah, I think it's so interesting. Everybody sort of has a thing. You've been able to do such a wide array of things that everybody sort of has a thing where they know Kyle MacLachlan from. It's kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, it's, you know, there was no master plan on this. It was just something where I, you know, something would interest me or, I mean, I'm thinking right now of the Flintstones, which was such an unusual departure, but I, you know, I grew up with the Flintstones. I loved the Flintstones. They were doing a live action and then I went in and auditioned, not really expecting anything and got cast, you know, kind of out of the blue. So those kind of things happen. And I've always been very open to the new experience, something a little different. So I think, you know, I often find myself saying yes most of the time. Sometimes to you could question my judgment on a few things, but I think it's always fun to have the experience.
That's good. That's good. Well, I think that attitude is the only way we got you on SOM TV with Joel McHale on the String a Bottle episode, which is one of my, honest to God, I'm not kidding. Every single cut of it that was released, we wanted it longer because it is so, you two wow. are absolutely hysterical in this. I don't think anybody, I don't think anybody really realizes that, you know, people who act are friends outside of shows and things. And you and Joel are clearly know each other quite well.
We do. We bonded over many things. We have a lot of things in common. Starting from our love and appreciation of nice wine, which was great. But we went to the same college, turns out, the University of Washington, and we share a love for the Seahawks and things from the Northwest. So there's a lot of we have a lot of common ground, he and I.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, to watch you guys really let loose and drink, it's supposed to be a bottle. I think it's 6 bottles and a beer you guys drink.
Yeah. And then you helped us. Thank you. At the end of the shoot, pitched in and let's try some of this. As long as it's open, why not?
Yeah. Well, you opened up some great wines. It's always a neat trick to convince two people like yourselves to bring your own wine and sit on camera and then give it to us afterwards.
You guys have worked it out very, very well. I like this job.
It's not a bad life decision. So, all right. So the reason we're talking is about your wine, which is, you know, there's just great anecdotes and stories. You open up your first vintage on the episode, but I want to talk about the concept of celebrity wine. And I don't know, you know, in the world that I inhabit, which is a small bubble, people are often very riled up about celebrity wines. You know, Cameron Diaz comes out with like clean wine and everybody freaks out. And there's a lot of like, do people who, you know, the term celebrity is also a goofy term, but do people who are well known, do they actually make the wine? How involved are they? And you have Pursued by Bear.
Yeah.
And the rumor is you're pretty involved. So I want to just get into the concept of being this, you know, well-known person and having a wine label.
Yeah.
What is that like? I mean, are you the same as everybody else with their wines?
I mean, I work really hard at it. I started in 2005 with no knowledge really of the wine business. I knew I liked wine and I knew I wanted to learn more about it, but I came in completely cold, and I was fortunate enough to partner with, at that time in 2005, to partner with a gentleman named Eric Dunham at Dunham Cellars, and they agreed to basically go on this journey with me to make a Cabernet blend, which is what we did.
Why Cabernet though? Like, just to take you back a sec, like, what's the reason? Because it's sellable, or it's what you liked, or what was the reason for Cab?
The reason really for Cab was, first of all, I liked it, and when I made the when I asked Eric about whether he would allow me to use the facilities and partner with me and basically mentor me through this process, he said, "Great," and he said, "What do you want to make?" And I was like, wine. And he was like, "Well, what do you like to drink?" And I said, I like to drink Cabernet. And he said, "Well, let's make Cabernet." I said, "That sounds good to me." So it was pretty much like that. Just getting into it, I was, I really just said, I just want to learn. And so he took me under his wing, and off we went. And it was they were very patient with me. You know, I had some knowledge from friendships that I developed in Napa over the years and with winemakers there. So I wasn't completely an idiot, but I was pretty new to the Washington wine scene and what was happening there and vineyard sources and growing conditions and everything. And I was, these are the kind of things that I wanted to learn about. Also, I wanted to learn just the process of what's the journey from grape to glass, and that was interesting. It's a 3-year, minimum 3-year journey.
Sounds like a great venture to get into if you're trying to make money.
Oh yeah. This is the kind of thing where money goes out the door, at least for the first 3 years, with nothing coming back in. And then, gradually you find you know, equilibrium, but it takes a while and we're still working on it. I've been doing it now since 05, right? So 15 years and, you know, we're still hoping to turn a profit here in the near future. It's gotten close. It's gotten closer. But this is a labor of love. And
I just want to say, I mean, I had that 05, which I think you genuinely meant it when you were saying on camera, you know, you're concerned, hopefully it's good and all this stuff. It was, I'm trying to think. So we have our 20 best bottles of wine we've had all year. And you have to understand, myself and my team, we have access to some crazy stuff. I mean, it's not a brag. It's just sort of our reality. And I think this wine is going to make my list. It is.
Oh, wow.
It was, it was truly phenomenal. And
thanks.
I think it goes to show so much about the region and how much time it takes. And in a lot of cases, people are drinking a lot of these wines a little young, in my opinion, these yeah. cabs. And that was just phenomenal, Kyle. I mean, it's amazing wine.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I was, you know, it's always a little bit of a, you don't know how it's surviving. But to this point, and I drink one every, you know, I'll pull one out every year, a couple of years maybe to try, just to see how it's developing. And you realize why people have need basically large cellars if they really are wine drinkers, because they need a case or two cases or even going to large format, you know, instead of 750, go to the 1.5, which ages beautifully. And you really need to allow them time. So you drink one when you get it, and then you sort of say, okay, I'm going to be visiting these next 11 bottles, or if you get two cases more, over the next 20 years, you know. And that has been the fun of getting this far down the road with, you know, starting in 2005 and being so pleased, because I felt the same way. It was a surprise for me to say, wow, this is really drinking well right now. And I'm glad I have a few more bottles that I can, you know, have fun with.
Yeah, it's really tremendous. I mean, that's the one thing. I've talked to many, many winemakers around the world, and there's always this, I don't know how the hell I'm ever going to turn a profit or make money, but I think the step is always, is the wine any good? You know, and that is something that often it's so hard to keep your eye on that because you're trying to keep a business going. But you've nailed that part, which is, I think, 95% of the battle is having good wine.
Yeah.
That can age.
I agree. You got to have the quality product. And it's also one of the things, you know, going back to the celebrity wine idea, that I'm also very involved in the marketing and the selling of this. You know, wine at this level of very small production is pretty much a hand sell item, you know, and so and there are an awful lot of wines to choose from, but if I go to the market, say in Texas, or I go, you know, out in when I'm in New York, when we were doing that kind of thing, now mostly it's on Zoom, but when you go out into the market and you talk to people and you sit and taste the wine, you know, being my name and the celebrity sheen on that helps get you in the door, because I think there's a curiosity. What's this guy doing? Or maybe I want to meet a guy who's been on television, blah, blah, blah. But unless it's followed up by wine that's surprisingly good, I think, from what the expectation is from these guys, then, you know, there'd be no reason for them to have me back. So the wine really does stand on its own. And
yeah, well, I think from watching kind of the sommelier community and especially the wine writer community, I wonder if being known might actually make it tougher for you to get a fair look. I actually don't know. I just know that it's a very opinionated world, whether it's right or not. It just is.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. I think there may be a little more resistance there. I never shied away from that, because I've always felt like, oh, it's, you know, I like a challenge. So, you know, and I do feel like that when I walk in that I've got something that's worthwhile. I mean, and it's going to surprise people because of the quality. And really that comes back to, you know, certainly I'm first and foremost, we're about making a quality product. I mean, that's the main thing. And I will not skimp to do that. I've also, you know, I started with Eric in the first couple of years, but my winemaker, Dan Wamfler, is really my secret, He's sort of the, you know, he's in my back pocket. He's the guy that really makes this all happen. He's my secret weapon, I guess, is what I was looking for. And he's been making the wine with me he's been involved since about 2007, 2008. He is now working, he works for another winery up there called Abeja up in Washington State. Great winery.
Oh, yeah. No, they make great wine.
This really terrific wine. And they've had a great history, you know. John Abbott was there, a great winemaker before. And then Dan came in with his wife, Amy, to take over. And he's just exceptional. And So that's and I hire him to make my wine. So, and I custom crush. I've moved my facilities over to Obeja now for this harvest. He's got they've just built a complete new winery there, which is really exciting. They've like expanded like three or four fold from what they had before. And so my production is able to fit into a little corner of the warehouse that they have now, really comfortably. So,
and how much do you make? How many cases do you guys?
I'm all in, and I have five different wines that I make. All in, maybe 2,500 cases total. So,
oh wow,
they're super tiny.
Super tiny.
Yeah, my flagship Cabernet is, you know, comes in at about 500 cases. That's the Pursued by Bear. The Syrah, which funny enough, I just had my Syrah last night, the 2015 Syrah, Baby Bear Syrah. You know, I've been making around 400 cases, but I've backed that down to about 300 cases now, simply because it's a challenge in the market to move Syrah, you know. So we've taken in a little bit less on that, and then the other ones rounded out. I got a nice rosé, and then a lower price point wine, an entry level wine, and then 100% cab, which is kind of the little experiment. It's less than 100 cases, Walla Walla AVA called Twin Bear.
And Bear.
Twin Bear. Yeah, it started out to be a little bit of a kind of a Twin Peaks nod, you know, and then it sort of took on a life of its own and became, it's a whole departure for me, you know, and I see what happens in the wine world, you know, people, winemakers, you wonder why suddenly you've got 16 different wines. It's because you want to try these different things.
Absolutely.
And suddenly, you know, you've got all these different wines to sell, and, you know, before you know it, you've got a huge family.
Yeah, and you have to like walk the line between getting rid of those bottles and also keeping enough so that you can, you know, learn in the future from what you've made. I mean, I'm sure that that's got to be both fun and challenging. So I don't know if any of our listeners are followers of your Instagram, but it's absolutely hilarious. And you have this bear. You do these bear, this bear. I'm assuming because of the zoning in Los Angeles, it's not a real bear.
No.
that you interact with.
Yeah. It's we did a series of little vignettes called Berry Tales because they was sort of be not fairy tales necessarily, but you know they're kind of in that vein, I guess. You know, they're anywhere between 20 to 30 seconds, and this bear costume that believe it or not, I found in New York City. Not that many bear options.
You flew around. Home with this bear costume?
I have flown that bear costume out, and it takes two boxes to get it out here to LA. I've flown it to Walla Walla. I've flown it to Los Angeles, and I've used it in New York. And it's just a great costume. I should just end up buying the darn thing because of the amount of money I'm spending on renting it and flying it around the country. I always need someone who's a little bit taller. So this most recent bear was my nephew, Oliver.
So my wife, the one request my wife gave me was, I want to know who is in the bear costume. She thought it was Joel McHale, or hoped it was.
Now that's a good idea. He'll be the next
bear. I mean,
there's
not a lot of work right now with the pandemic. I mean, that's skilled labor at the moment.
You're right. And I pay, it's a barter system. So I'll trade wine for bear work. Which I think would suit Joel just fine. He's certainly tall enough. I think Joel is like 6'2 or 6'3. He's
he's like 7'5.
Yeah, he's a big dude. But the bear is very tall. Yeah, but it's a perfect. It's a great costume. And I love the little face on the bear. You know, it's kind of fun. It's not threatening. He's more curious than anything. And it's just become sort of the mascot, you know, for the brand. So, and those are, yeah, we're dropping those every Wednesday. So we do it on Instagram. We post hashtag Wine Wednesday, and Berry Tales we roll those out and we're going to be rolling them out until I think Christmas. So we got about, I think we got nine total.
I mean, it's absolutely
Thank
hilarious.
You. Yeah, they're fun. They were a lot of fun to think up and shoot. And I had a good friend of mine, Doug Keeve, wonderful director, came in and helped me out and you know, set stuff up. And he's pretty smart and he's funny. He gets the sense of humor. So
Washington's kind of known for Cabernet, at least I think outside of the state. Was it a cab that drew you into making wine? I mean, is that why you got into this?
How I got the bug. Yeah, I, you know, I think it started with, I mean, I've always loved wine over the years, but I think the idea of actually making it started with a friendship that I developed with Ann Colgan, Colgan Cellars, quite by accident. We were involved in a wine interview together for In Style magazine years and years ago. And I met Ann at that event. So it was like a restaurant, Bruce Marder in Los Angeles, myself and Ann Colgan. So it was an actor, a restaurateur, and winemaker together having a conversation. And I met Ann and we got to be friends. And she invited my wife at the time, my girlfriend, she was my girlfriend then, she invited us up to visit her in Napa and and so I started to kind of hang out a little bit with her and ask questions about her process, because she had been making wine since 92 up in Napa, and a very highly regarded, what you might call a boutique wine that she started with. At Colgan Cellars, called Colgan. And she would tell me how she started. And I was like, my gosh, so you hired a winemaker. She hired a winemaker, Helen Turley. She custom crushed at a facility in Napa. She sourced from different locations around Napa that she and Helen Turley had found. She used barrels, certain kind of barrels that they found from French cooperage, Terrenceau barrels. And I was like, gosh, if you could just, I could do this, you know, like if, but I don't know. But and at that time I was thinking, oh, I could do this in Napa, which of course that idea lasted about 30 seconds. It's so incredibly cost prohibitive for me to have gotten involved up there. I was just like, this is not going to work. So I turned my sights to Washington. Actually, my wife helped turn my sights. So she said, you should think about Washington State. That's the story. And I said, because I had been drinking wines from Washington and had been impressed by what I was tasting coming out of there. So I thought, okay, all right, well, I just got to figure out kind of who and how and what, you know. So, and surely by accident, I met Eric Dunham. And Eric Dunham, I met him through my, I was getting married and I wanted to serve one of the wines that he made at the reception, and because I wanted Washington to be represented at the dinner, and so I reached out to him, and they didn't have any left, but he pointed me to Woodward Canyon. But we got to talking. Turns out he was going to come to New York a few weeks after that, so I invited him to dinner, and so again, same kind of thing, came out of a friendship that developed, not intending to, you know, pursue this wine world, but just simply, hey, I like hanging out with this guy. He makes great wine. He's cool. He's from Eastern Washington. You know, we share there's a lot in common there. And that started it. So that opened the door for me to ask him a couple of years later if he would partner with me. Because by then I'd gotten to know the family, I'd gotten to know his dad, and I had been down to the facilities a number of times. And they were really open to the idea of partnering with me on this little project.
No, that's great. I'm always interested in people's kind of like how the hell you got from A to B. And sometimes you just go right to D instead of there's nothing in the middle. But it always interests me, you know, I think you have to have a strong gut to stay in this business, the wine business, because, you know, it's a mixture of farming and chemistry and you know, all these different things that you have to sort of master. But yeah, man, you don't strike me as the give up type, but I would say it seems like an easy profession to give up occasionally because it's just relentless.
Well, it's you know, I think going into it, I was so naive starting it, and I didn't really understand. I'm not a business person.
Well, how do you mean? How do you mean naive?
Well, I just, you know, I didn't go into it with a business mind, let's just say, and I still struggle with that, to be honest. I was just in it for the adventure and the experience. And to be honest, for the first few years, I was involved and making decisions, but really, it's like a machine a little bit, and it has a yearly cycle, for production. And then like a 3-year cycle actually from the beginning till actually taking something to the market. But the harvest and what happens, you know, annually in this cycle is, you know, kind of, you know, by this such and such time, this has to happen. And by such and such time, this has to happen, you know, on and on. So you've got to make sure your barrels are ordered in time for this. And I'm kind of like that. I'm kind of structured like that. So I like that. I like that there are these systems in place, you know. And for a while, that was carrying me on for Dunham. They were sort of doing it, and I was kind of involved here and there and popping in and popping out. But as I did more and more and I got more interested, then I became more and more involved. And pretty soon I started saying, hey, why don't we look into this vineyard over here? Why don't we try sourcing from him? Hey, you know what? I want to experiment a little bit with these Terrenso barrels. I want to do this. I want to do that. And I started to flex my muscles a little bit. And they were totally open to it and welcoming it at Dunham, you know. But I was starting to push against things a little bit. And finally, in 2016, I made the decision to separate, dissolve the partnership, take on the brand completely by myself, you know, get a huge loan from the bank to take care of Dunham, and then to, you know, do embark on my on by myself. But it took, you know, that's a, you know, 10 years of having this already in place before I sort of stepped in and took over the responsibility, and that was a huge learning curve for me. And I'm still, you know, kind of swimming the currents on that, bringing in people, very smart people that know what they're doing, and having them help me and assist this, because it's certainly not a one person job by any means. You need, you know, four or five people in place, and you know, first and foremost, of course, is the working with Dan and my winemaker, who I can't say enough good things about. He's just an exceptional, and he's got a great story too. I mean, he's a boy out of Michigan, went to college there. Chemistry major, headed to Dow Chemical, where his dad worked. That was what was going to be his thing, and started making alcohol in his dorm room, and found out he actually had a pretty good hand at it. He was pretty good at it, and I think that led him into a different path, and he ended up out in
Washington
State.
What kind of alcohol does one make in their dorm room? That's,
well, you know, like it's like
prison.
You know,
prison.
That's exactly
wine.
What I'm sure it was, some kind of crazy hooch that he was doing, and some kind of spirits. You know, listen, we all got to find what we're good at. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I'm
and
still
stay
looking
on that. You're doing okay, I think.
Yeah, I'm trying.
But it's been a process. Been a process.
Yeah. Well, I think too, the other thing when it comes to like partnering on this stuff, you have to have somebody that can kind of think the way you think and not need their hand held at every single step of the way and make decisions on their own. I mean, I imagine that you're very lucky, you know, to have
yeah. Them. Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, starting with Eric, which was the same way, and then moving from him to Dan, I've had two terrific winemakers, and we really see eye to eye. And I think, you know, there's, I always say it's, you know, coming from Eastern Washington, even though Dan isn't originally from Eastern Washington, being from Michigan, but it's like, you have a kind of a common, there's a way of looking at the world that I think you share, you know, and I certainly felt that way with Eric, and I feel that way with Dan, and I feel that way with all the people in and around Walla Walla. I mean, I'm from Yakima. Walla Walla is about 2 hours away, but they're very similar. Being on the east side of the state, you know, Washington State, kind of two states, really. There's the Seattle side, the rainy side, the more liberal side, I will say. Then there's the eastern side, which is a high desert, dry, very little rainfall, more conservative, of course, and primarily farming, fruit ranching, wheat, you know, huge, you know, just massive thousands of acres of dryland wheat.
A lot of hops, too, I found when
and
I filmed
that
there.
A lot of hops. You've got hops just outside of Yakima in these little communities, Toppenish, Moxie, and these kind of places. It's the largest producer, I think, well, maybe it still is, the largest producers of hops in the world, I think even more than Germany, just because of the weather. It's so, like I said, it's so dry.
The soil is just there. As long as you have water, you can grow anything there, it seems.
Yeah, and the irrigation system on the east side is really sophisticated. They've done a beautiful job, and there's a lot of rivers to draw from, you know, so they just have made it work. And
yeah, we have a three-part series on Somme TV about Eastern Washington and Washington wines, and it gets into kind of the dichotomy of the West and the East Coast and all of that stuff. But I do think it's a very underrated place. And I think people listening, they really, really, really need to dive into Washington. When you think about a cost wine at a cost point, you can get wines from Washington State that are just mind blowing. I mean, especially if you're into the Napa stuff. I mean, it's a, it's a hidden gem that's right there in front of you as far as wine goes.
Yeah, no, they make and everything they make. I mean, outside of Pinot Noir, of course, which is Oregon's, that's the main source of is comes from Oregon. Is but Washington State. I mean, that said, I gotta backtrack a little bit because actually one of the vineyards that I source from is in an area called Milton Freewater, just over the border. But it's on the east side of it's on the eastern part of Oregon. You know what I mean?
Very similar. Yeah, the AVA overlaps into Oregon.
It does. It does.
Quite a bit, yeah.
It does, the Walla Walla AVA, where I source as well. But you're right. I think they do everything great there. And Syrah being, of course, one of the ones. And you know, again, a little more challenging. People aren't maybe as used to ordering Syrah from the menu, or maybe they've had a bad experience or whatever. But Washington
State,
probably
my favorite red grape in the world is Syrah.
It's unbelievable there. And I, you know, again, I had a 2015 Baby Bear Syrah. And I was like, geez, this is just a little bit of age on it. I was like, wow. I was, again, had the same reaction. I said, this is remarkable. It's so much fun, you know, to discover this because I'm like, you know, figuring it out as we go. You know what I mean? So I'm as excited as anybody who opens a nice bottle of wine going, oh, this is such a pleasure. You know, such so much fun to drink.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see if your kids, when they, you know, when they get older, want to continue this. You know, I think that's what's so cool about wine is you can pass that, you know, as a lifestyle down to your family members, which is pretty cool.
Just don't talk to my wife. She's not gonna want to move to Washington, sadly.
Yeah, well, no, I'm from Cleveland, and when I was engaged to my wife, the whole time she's like, "Yeah, I'm totally willing to move to Cleveland." We got married. She goes, "Nope, I'm not moving to Cleveland."
Not gonna happen.
So now we're still in LA, and yeah. You know, wives tend to win. So
yeah, they
it's
do.
Not even worth
they
challenging.
Do. As they should.
So with the last few minutes here, let's. Who else in your circle likes to drink wine? I think people like to hear this stuff. I was pleasantly surprised that Joel McHale actually knows a hell of a lot about wine. You guys on this episode, I don't look, I'm not trying to say like I thought you guys didn't know anything about wine, so I'm not trying to insult you, but I was very surprised by the nuance that you spoke about wine as a as, you know, so who else in your circle of friends that people may have heard of is a wine drinker?
Well, my closest is David Lynch, director. And you know, that I tell the story of when we met, in 83, when I was brought down to Los Angeles to meet him and talk about, Dune. And I ended up screen testing for the film, and David sent me a bottle of Lynch Bage when I finished as a gesture of thank you, I think. And we've shared this love of that particular winery for, geez, I mean, since then. He's admittedly, he's drinking less these days, but we share this with this pleasure of having a glass of red wine together and have had many glasses of red wine together, you know, post-filming and at dinners and working on location. I remember we would go out during filming of Blue Velvet in Wilmington to a little restaurant. I think it was called Stemmerman's. And we would have a glass of, it was a Jordan Cabernet maybe or something like that. And, you know, Laura Dern would often join us and Isabella would join us. I mean, it was that kind of a environment working on that film. We were like a little family.
Wow, that is just so cool. I mean, David Lynch is... It's tough. I mean, you're basically, to me, he would be like talking about Michael Jordan in the NBA. I mean, I look at his work, and I nobody wants to hear, you know, me pontificate on films, but I will say I put him on a mountaintop. He is so original and brilliant. And to find out that the guy, I mean, you open up this the Lynch Bage on the episode and talk about this story, which people really do need to watch. It's absolutely hilarious. But to find out that he's a wine drinker just makes me like him even more.
He's a great guy. Great guy.
That's great stuff.
Yeah. And so it's certainly with David. And I found a, you know, with Joel, it's so funny. I found a sort of a partner in crime there. I didn't know that he was, and he's always, Joel always has some sort of something he's found, you know, like he brought the Trigo, you know, and I'm like, oh, he finds these little, you know, sometimes they're gems, sometimes maybe not. It's in the eye of the beholder. But
right, it's made in someone's dorm room or something.
Yeah. But I love the fact that he has this kind of, you know, he loves to sniff it out, which I think, you know, we're probably going to talk more about with Weird Bottles. I think that's going to be kind of that'll be really fun.
I'm going to plug that really fast. So Kyle and Joel are going to do a new series on SOM TV in the new year, where the two of you guys are going to drink extremely rare or crazier. You know, we're titling it Weird Bottles, and we're sourcing some wild stuff. I think, you know, it's when people get a taste of how funny and great you two are on camera, they're going to definitely want more. I know I certainly do. Well, I look forward to just drinking whatever the hell you guys open.
Me too. We'll see how brave we are.
Yes, absolutely. Well, where can people get your wine? You got to give a nice plug. And what's the most profitable way for you? For them to order it.
Yeah. The most profitable is on the website, I think, simply because we ship everywhere. I would say almost everywhere. There's a few states that are still sort of haven't sort of come up to speed yet. But the wineries, the website is pursuedbybearwine.com, and there's stuff available on there. Especially right now, we're doing. I've got some Christmas gift options that are little box sets. They're kind of fun. So those are available. And then, if you're
if they order now, if they order that stuff from the website, they can actually get it before Christmas.
Yeah. So this is going to air.
We're going to get this. We're going to turn this around pretty quick, this pod.
Okay. So. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Yeah. I think there's a cutoff date that we mentioned on the site. For any orders, okay. It has to be done by a certain time, and then you can also do expedited. It's a little challenging now because obviously there's so much shipping going on, and with the virus and everything, sometimes things can get a little snagged. But I think we're still okay.
I would just say to anybody listening, if you want to impress your father-in-law or your mother-in-law, order this for them for Christmas. That's the way to go. It's really, really good wine, and it's awesome. Perfect for the holidays.
Yeah.
So this is great. I really appreciate it. And it's an honor to have you join the SOM TV and the content and everything.
Listen, I'm excited. It's a really I think what you guys are putting together and putting out there is solid content, and interesting. And you come out with a fresh approach, and I think it's really fun to be one of the voices, I guess, or talking heads, or at least through your earphones, and talking and being part of it. So thank you.
That's great. And if you talk to David Lynch and he needs any help directing, I'm here. I'm willing to give some pointers.
Yeah, you bring him a bottle of wine. You never know.
Yeah, I'll just to sit in a room with David Lynch. I'd get any bottle of wine on earth to do that. But
yeah,
well, it's an honor to have you. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
I've had such a great time. Thank you.
Thank you for listening today. For those of you looking for a gift besides SOM TV, SOMTV.com, everybody, Kyle's wine. If you are looking to get that, you need to order pretty soon. Shipping has been a mess with COVID and all this stuff. And I really, this is not, sponsorship or anything. I genuinely really like his wine. And he's genuinely a wonderful person. So go to pursuedbybearwine.com and order it. I'm telling you, it will score you points over the holidays, and you need the alcohol. I also want to say, with the holidays coming up, everybody's under a lot of pressure. And I think it's really, really, really important to be nice to those in your house. They've put up with you quite a bit. I know the people in my house certainly deserve a hug. So everybody, please be safe and have a wonderful, wonderful holiday. We have some great stuff coming. All right? Talk soon.